You are listening to a Geekcast Radio podcast.
Oh, all right, so why are we doing only audio?
Because I don't feel like editing video.
How much gets edited?
I don't feel like editing video, and since I'm the one that primarily does all the work, I'm the one that decides what format it gets recorded in.
All right.
It's my goddamn show.
Oh, easy there, Madonna.
That's it. Episode 69 is done. 59. Episode 59 is done. Go home.
Just remember, you can go on audible.com, read American Horror Story. There, we got everything that we needed to do.
That's it. We're out.
Sorry, tip my phone to get on. I didn't have Skype on this computer, so I had to get it with my 5 meg internet. You know, it takes forever to download stuff. So, are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. Okay. So okay. We can start.
I don't know if
Danner sends anyone a message, then we can.
Well, let's harass him to see if he's getting on.
No, I don't want to harass Danner. I haven't been wanting to harass Danner lately.
I will harass him for you in your name.
No.
Hold on.
I think I'm just going to sit here quietly while I listen to you two talk about Destiny.
And there we are.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
You're welcome. I told you I was going to do it in your name. I think I'm a liar.
Why are you trying to start problems?
Trying to start problems and trying to get my friends together.
Don't start nothing. Won't be nothing. I was actually...
What is that from?
Bad Boys.
Oh, that's right. You ever made love to a man? Want to?
I think Don't Start Nothing, Won't Be Nothing is from the first one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And a pack of Skittles.
What? I don't remember that part.
It's when they get held there in the... They go to the liquor store after a shootout, and they're all pumped up, and the guy behind the counter thinks they're there to rob him. And he pulls the gun on him. He's like, first I blow you, then I blow you. And then they pull out their guns out on him.
I need to watch Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2 again. Those are such underrated movies.
I love both. A lot. I love Bad Boys.
I don't know. I think I like, if I had to choose between the two, I think I like the second one better. It might be just because it's newer, so it holds up more. Like his kick-ass sports car in the first one is a really, really old Porsche now.
Well, yeah, but a Porsche is still a Porsche, no matter how old it is.
Yeah, but like, that old Porsche is nothing compared to his new car. Plus, I mean, that's like two movies in one, to be honest. There's like the one movie when it's in Miami, and there's this completely different Cuba movie.
So, all right.
Did Danner respond?
No, I think he's got family stuff going on. So, all right. If he signs on, we'll add him in. No problems. No big worries. You guys ready?
Yes. Yeah. Let's make it official.
Hold on, let me get my drink close. Okay. And go.
You sure you're ready?
me. Yes.
You.
Very funny.
Hello and welcome to Off the Cuff, episode 59. I am your host this week, as usual, Michael Powers. I'm joined, as you've probably heard, depending on how much work I do, you've heard Joe Reed.
Hello.
And you've heard Shaunzi Brown.
Woo.
Danner is MIA. If he signs online while we're recording, we'll add him in here.
No, I'm not. I'm right here.
But anyone hoping to hear his opinion on gaming lately, well, you might not get it. You can pretty much just take anything I say, and then he'll take the contrary stance to it. So.
And then something about horrible about me at the end of it, and then that's Danner.
Honestly, I think one of the things it's interesting. Since I, you know, Shaunzy calls me a hippie about it.
But yeah, you're damn
since
hippie.
I started the whole thing, like, let's try to be nice to each other at least. I feel like conversation in the Facebook chat is like ceased.
Yeah, because we're not allowed to be mean to each other anymore.
And I'm sitting there going, where is everybody? Are they ignoring me? Are they? Because I don't have Twitter. I just imagine all of you are tweeting each other behind my back because I can't read it.
He's retweeting like crazy. Danner's being like, God damn my life. Banga, 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 banga. I'm like, hey, retweet some boobs or something. I don't even know what I do on there anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll have conversations with you, Joe, in mm-hmm. the Facebook chat, but it's not as lively as it was. Well, but it was just like, I'm going to leave this.
Lately, whatever you guys, like, I'll be, like, bored doing nothing all day and nobody says anything, and I'll get ready to go to work, and then it explodes. I'm like, well, I can't. God damn it.
I kind of feel like we've been looking forward to Destiny, chatting up the off the cuff. And then as soon as Destiny came out, like a large percentage of us all of a sudden became like depressed. And I'm doing okay, but I'm looking at Destiny as my kind of savior. But everybody's like, nah, I'm gone. And we all disappear. And I feel really bad.
Well,
I miss you all, man.
Well, in fairness, we have been playing. We played Destiny a lot in the last 2 months. Or last month? Only a month.
However long it's been.
Yeah, I haven't gotten even remotely bored with it yet, mostly because almost, I'm looking forward
to it. I still find fun stuff to do. Like almost today, I wasn't doing much. I'm like, I'll just log in, and I end up completing all the bounties, the little single player bounties.
Well, for me, like I think one of the reasons I would postpone the recording or just cancel the recording altogether is because what were we gonna talk about? Just Destiny again. And because let's be honest, there's two things that have happened in the last that are like noteworthy in the last month, which is something I don't want to talk about because nobody really knows what it is. For sure, 100% for certain, that's Gamergate, which I don't want to talk about it.
I don't even know what it is.
And then Destiny is pretty much the other thing because there hasn't been any major game releases, you know, in the last month.
Shadow of Mordor, bitch.
Any major game releases in the last month.
I heard what you said.
So I was kind of like, well, you know what? I don't really want to just have like what, 4 or 5 podcasts of just us talking about what we did in the last week in Destiny. I will say this, when we can get into this later, I do wish that the 2.0 PlayStation update had occurred a lot sooner than yesterday.
You mean at launch?
No, not necessarily.
I wanted it at launch.
I just wanted the party chat to be available for Twitch streaming. That's something I wanted from the beginning. Like if they had launched that like a month ago when Destiny came out, probably would have been streaming Destiny every Wednesday night, you know, for like with the off the cuff crew, you know, and you could come hang out with us in the chat or whatever. Probably would have been doing that. But unfortunately that didn't happen until yesterday. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I just didn't want us to talk about Destiny nonstop, you know, like what did we do this last week? Oh, I went and did some bounties and grinded some stuff out. Yay.
Yay, more grinding.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's more fun when you can actually experience than it is to kind of like talk about it. And I know you guys want to talk about, well, Joe especially wants to talk about his experience with the raid.
Oh yeah.
But before that, maybe I had here the feedback from our last episode,
which was how long ago?
Oh, let's see. I posted this. I think it's been, this was on, drum roll, please, November 25th. So it's been 1 month, roughly.
About, yeah, a little bit over,
A little bit over 1 month. So that's,
hey,
that's
guess who's here?
Is it Danner?
Uh-huh.
Where?
I just saw him pop up on Skype. I got a little pop-up.
He hasn't shown up on mine yet.
Yeah, he's there, right there. I mean, he's still got
can't see.
He's got a little green dot right on my thing.
He hasn't. It hasn't. Oh, there it is. I'm adding him to the call.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but since the last time I was here, I only have Mike on my contact list now.
Hey, Sleepy.
Hi.
Hey, Art, you. I'm so glad to kind of see you and hear you.
Yeah.
Don't sound so thrilled.
Done.
Well, we were just getting ready to go over listener feedback from a month ago. Don't want to alienate our audience now.
Yeah,
we haven't done that already.
Let's see. Brian Rivera, this is actually kind of funny, asks, what time do you guys do the live show again? What? Is Danner talking to us or someone else?
Man, is my setting screwed up and you can hear me right now?
Yes.
Yes.
God damn. Update. At least I didn't blurt out my password again.
Careful. Your password is password.
One more time for the rest of us. While we're figuring this out, ladies and gentlemen, just listen to the docile tones of somebody's goddamn fish tank.
I wonder if I could sleep to that.
That might get crushed.
You can.
I don't know if I can fall asleep to the sound of someone peeing.
We have video evidence that you can sleep to that guy.
Oh, no, he wasn't. He's not right next to his fish tank when he was sleeping there.
You know his house set up a little bit too well for my liking.
He's been there.
It's not overly complicated to remember the layout of someone's house. In fact, when I was a kid in middle school and high school, I had actually the uncanny ability to figure out someone's house just by being on the phone with them.
That's kind of cool.
Wow. It's like you're the lamest X-Men there ever was.
Yes.
I would choose Dazzler over you.
Quick, somebody crank call Magneto. We need to find out the layout of his lair.
He's remodeled his bathroom. I can hear it.
Anyways.
You'll have to come in through the window.
Anyways. Brian Rivera asked, what time do you guys do the live show again? Well, at that time, 25 days ago, I responded with, we've been slacking a lot lately. A lot. Mostly my fault. If we do a live record, it's Wednesdays at about 8:30. You can watch live on our YouTube page, and I usually tweet out a link when we go live at my Twitter handle at BoothNinja81. So
I love how you respond to when we're going live next on a show where we're not live.
No, I said Wednesdays at it's Wednesdays. It could be any Wednesday. Wednesdays.
But I'm just remarking on how you're talking about this, answering a question about being alive on this. It's very ironic.
Yeah, I didn't want to do a live show today because, well, we went over that already.
Plus, I'm wearing a robe. You're wearing a robe?
Yes.
You get more creepier every time I talk to you. I imagine you're wearing those like slippers, the ones that look like dino feet, that every time you think about like rah, rah, rah,
if
rah,
if
rah.
You could find me a pair of those, I need a good pair of slippers.
Also a month ago we had done the video game controller poll at Grand Con,
yeah,
which we talked about in that episode. Eric Hutchinson said, I feel like I am going to get slammed for this, but I really like the Xbox 360 controller. The placement of the analog sticks makes it perfect for shooters. The triggers are super sensitive, and the button placement is second to none. The only problem is that blasted D-pad.
I actually agree with him.
Walking Dread follows up with a response to him saying, actually, I don't think you're far off. I do really like the 360 controller. I'd vote for the Super Nintendo, though. I remember when I first used the triggers and thought they were a stupid fad that would go away. Well, I was wrong about that.
I will say about the 360 controller, I have one of the newer versions, the Chrome ones that have the transforming D-pad, and the D-pad is much, much better.
The prices never got low enough for me to want to get one of those. Now that I don't have 360 hooked up.
It's still annoying that 360 controllers and stuff are still like, I think they're 50.
I never
54.
There wasn't a game I ever played on the 360 that demanded a good D-pad.
Those guys playing Street Fighter.
Oh yeah, exactly. No, I know what games do demand them. I'm saying personally, I never.
Yeah, me neither.
Usually
games with big like inventory things, and he used it for hotkeys for stuff.
Yeah. King of Kong says my favorite controller is easily the Super NES controller. When you look how much it improved on its predecessor, and how well it functioned, no controller comes close in my eyes. I do have a soft spot for the Dreamcast controller because for whatever reason, it fit my hands perfectly. Peter Faith responded to him with, is it weird I don't pay that much attention to controllers anymore? I find the way I prefer to hold it and go from there. The only controller I ever really had an issue with was the first Xbox controller. It was just too bulky and felt like I was holding a brick.
I will say, now when I look back at older gaming controllers, I think to myself, what the hell were my fingers doing? I'm used to, you know, my hands having two triggers, two bumpers, four face buttons, four directional buttons, and two joysticks, plus a start or options button and a back button, plus the guide button. When I look at those old ones, I'm like, there's only like four buttons on here, and one of them's start. What the fuck was I doing?
Well, half of me says, are they over-engineering these things? Do we need a home button, a start button, an options button?
Yes,
do we need all that?
All of those.
You know, and I see also that, and I think we've talked about it on the show before, that when you put that many buttons on a controller, you're creating a gigantic barrier for entry for the newbies who want to come in and have never played a video game before.
I don't think that's true.
I do.
Oh, or you're setting a precedent.
Yeah, I think it's more like, okay, with the way gaming is, and you know, gaming in a 3D environment, you need these kind of things. You need these two directional sticks for twin stick shooters. You need these face buttons. Oh, I didn't even count the clicking of the sticks. There's two more buttons. But
you need all those things nowadays.
Yeah,
I couldn't get my mom to hold on to an Xbox 360 controller to play something. I couldn't talk her into it.
You think you could get your mom to work a Super Nintendo controller right now?
Absolutely,
I'm saying if she had never touched one. It's not the fact that it's too many buttons. It's that they've never held anything like that. It's easier for us because we've, you know, when we started to game, we kind of gamed through the evolution of it.
See,
I think if you gave it to someone after a while, they'd pick it right up, I think.
Well, yeah, I think eventually you'd pick anything up as long as if you stayed at it. He's talking about the barrier to entry. Like if someone picks it up and is immediately overwhelmed and then they stop playing, like that is the barrier to entry here. And that's what he's talking about. Like there are games that, and I was talking to Danner about it a little bit earlier today. I've been playing Sunset Overdrive and, you know, the Xbox One controller it's like every other controller we've just described. It has like buttons all over the place. I'm used to the button layout and stuff, but just what they made the buttons do and the sheer amount of buttons on the controller, it's really hard for me to, for some reason, I played it for 6 hours today and it's really hard for me to, I still keep pushing the wrong buttons.
Oh, because Grand Theft Auto has that, I don't know, 3-week tutorial. Every mission teaches you a new function of the controller, and by the end of it, oh my god, it does a million things, but every once in a while I'll come across something that I've forgotten how to do and need to go look it up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the length at which you're holding down a button changes its function in a lot of these games.
Context-sensitive buttons changed everything.
I think for the better.
I think context-sensitive buttons definitely made things easier, and I think we can give credit to E.T. for that.
That's a good point on E.T.
That was the, I think we came to that conclusion a couple of years ago at one of the Geek Sales when we were talking about the instruction manual for E.T.
Yeah.
And that it was, everything in it was, that button did a lot of different things depending on where you're at in the environment, which is why nobody could figure out what the hell the button did. So, anyways, that was just kind of a joke that fell flat. My bad.
But it wasn't a joke. It was actually a good point.
So, all right. So that was it for the listener feedback on that one. Maybe if we had gotten
here, I'm listening to someone type. It's very, very interesting.
I'm so sorry. I won't do that again. I need to get a quieter keyboard.
You need to get a lot of things.
No, you know, I'm just a cell phone that does Skype.
I'm not just Skype, kidding.
You don't. Twitter. You need to get a smartphone.
Yeah.
Not get a dinosaur phone that you have.
Anyways. Well, Danner, have you fallen asleep again?
Nope.
I'm going to try to avoid talking about Destiny for as long as possible. So, Danner, why don't you tell us about what you've been doing?
I have been... I actually turned the PS3 on, and I've been playing through some PS3 games. We played Ratchet & Clank Into the Nexus, which was fun. It's short, but it's solid. It's like a Ratchet & Clank game without any of the excess to it. And then I played, for some reason, I popped Far Cry 3 in. And damn. It's hard to go back and play a first-person shooter back in an old last-generation console compared to seeing things on the PS4.
I think I need to go hook the 360 up and look at both Far Cry and maybe Grand Theft Auto and just see, you know, put what I'm seeing in context, because I still don't think what I'm looking at is all that special compared to things I remember.
Well, I'm just whipping my head around in Far Cry 3, and I almost got motion sickness in the first 5 minutes because of the frame rate is so much lower
than what we're used to
with the PS4, and I just was like, it was jarring. Just moving is very jarring. And then driving around and watching the environment textures pop in, which is something that I haven't seen in like a year.
Oh, don't get Sunset Overdrive then.
oh, great.
Anyways.
I will say, like, about all the stuff around the game, I have like little to no interest in Sunset Overdrive. I have no idea why. I'm usually all about those third-person shooters, especially sandboxy type ones. I could not give two shits about this game, and I have no idea why.
I'm enjoying it, but I'll talk about it later.
I'm enjoying about it.
So, besides that, that's all I've really played recently.
All right.
I downloaded Arkham Asylum with the hopes of actually playing through that again. But
I did that too, but yeah, I haven't touched it.
Same. I downloaded it and found my copy of it. So
before we get too far away, Dan, are you looking forward to Far Cry 4?
I'm not allowed to look forward to new games. So.
Well, you need to look forward to Fallout 4.
Yeah, it comes out right after Half-Life 3.
Yep.
You think?
I think
we'll see it Christmas next year.
Next year, maybe the year after.
I think if they show it off at the VGAs this year, I think we'll get it at Christmas. But if it's not if they don't show it at the VGAs, I don't think we're going to get it in 2015.
I bet.
That's fair.
I'm saying it's going to be a year past that.
Because Skyrim was at the VGAs, and I think Fallout 3 wasn't, but lately they've been using Bethesda. It seems like Bethesda used the VGAs for a lot of their bigger things. So
yeah, the only company that really doesn't go crazy promoting their stuff, it seems like, that it's Rockstar.
They don't have to.
Yeah, I think it's just because they know, because it's like that's what they do. They make those games. It's not like Bethesda, you know, it's got their, you know, doing lots of things where they do they have their hands in a lot of stuff, don't they?
Bethesda? Yeah, because they're a publisher now.
Yeah, but that's Rockstar is still just the developer. Unless I'm wrong, all just their games is all they deal with, right?
Yeah, but they're a pretty big. But Rockstar is a pretty big company too.
Oh yes, what I'm saying is that so since they just do that, they're just like whatever people. They know their fans. They know their fans are going to get their games. I mean, I told myself I'm not going to spend a lot of money to rebuy Grand Theft Auto 5.
35 is my psychological threshold for
That's what I keep telling myself. And then I have a feeling I'm going to be walking by it and be like, yoink your mind now.
My psychological threshold is taking Grand Theft Auto 5 on the PS3 in for trade-in and then go ahead and pick it up.
My psychological threshold is the fact that I haven't even played the game, so it's all new to me.
Yeah, it's...
You're in a good position.
For you, it's fully worth the 60.
I've played maybe five story missions in that game. The rest of it was Joe and I bombing around in a helicopter holding up convenience stores. Which is more than enough fun for me.
With you guys, man, I could show you some stuff, because I'm like... I haven't played in a few weeks, but I think last time I checked was like a level 120 something online.
I see. I found doing anything, or, well, leveling up online and getting money online excruciatingly slow.
It is, unless you know what you're doing. Some things don't give you shit for money. Some things give you lots for money. It all depends. Like, I've spent easily millions on just cars. Not including, you know, guns. Like, a new gun comes out, it's like $60,000. And I'll be like, yep, buy that, and all its upgrades all at once. And then make that money back by the end of the night.
It's crazy.
I tell you, the best thing to do is get a bunch of friends together, set up a playlist of, like, I don't know, we do, like, usually between 10 and 20 jobs. So it's like you're committing like an hour and a half, 2 hours to this. And just playing job after job after job, it just loads you right back into the next thing without going back to the main world. So you end it in, like, the leader, whoever, you know, comes out at the head of the playlist will have $80,000. Next person will have, you know, like 70 or whatever, depending on how they did. But so you've spent all this time having fun with just you and your friends. You don't have to deal with any other dickheads if you don't want to. Playing crazy ass maps, doing whatever you want to do, and then you get out and you get tons of money. But they just released that all the stuff that's coming to the next gen versions. I want them all. It's really, like, I was before that, I was like, I'm gonna wait till the price drops a little bit, you know, and then I have it a month. I'm probably gonna buy this immediately. God damn it.
I can't pay for something twice, and well, I can't pay full price for something twice.
And I've pretty much resided myself that I'm gonna keep my max level character, or my high level character on 360 and start a brand new one with you guys.
Okay.
Because, I mean, what you were saying about the transfers being one way, so I can't load up the guy on two different systems.
Mm-hmm.
If I take it away and go to that, I'll have to start a brand new character on an old system, which I really don't want to do.
I'd
much rather start a brand new one on the new system.
The only thing I'm curious about that is, if you're not transferring a character or a profile, then how... I wonder if you can transfer a profile without transferring a character. Because a lot of that stuff you were looking at is for returning players, people that do, you know, do own it on PS3 or 360.
Well, when you, it's like when you log into your social whatever thing, what is it called? Social?
Sure.
Rockstar Social? Whatever it's called. It's kind of like, think Ubisoft or anything. It just keeps a record of all the games you've ever logged in on.
Okay.
So it knows I've logged in on a Grand Theft Auto game on 360.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of those Uplay and other services, because it's another login to remember.
Uplay
and
things?
It's just not user-friendly enough for me to, like, go there and utilize it. They seem like afterthoughts compared to...
The only Uplay one I've ever used was AC2. Everything else...
I will say, like, some of the stuff you unlock is worthwhile, though. Like upgrades.
I guess it depends on how much you play the game.
Yeah, well, usually I have enough. Well, the game comes out and I already have enough points to buy an upgrade, because the points carry over from any Ubisoft game you've ever played, not just that particular one.
All right. Real quick, and then we can talk about Destiny. Friday, my wife actually bought me Bayonetta 2 on the Wii U.
Hey.
I played through that. I finished it Monday, I think. It was Monday or yesterday. I can't remember. It had to have been Monday. I actually had a lot of fun playing it. I played through the first one on the 360, but the Wii U version comes with both games for the price of one. So I haven't gone back to revisit the first one to see, if it plays any better or anything like that. I would suspect it might, but I had a lot of fun. It was a lot like the first one. So if you've played that one, you know what you're getting with this. There's a lot of stylized action. It basically is Devil May Cry with a female character.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
Is my understanding she has short hair now, right?
Yes.
Okay. How does her whole thing work? Because isn't her powers hair-based?
Yes, but at the same time, she has more... When she's casting her spells, she has more hair for her spells than she actually has on her anyways. It's... You're not supposed to figure this stuff out. It just happens. It's an interesting mechanic. But I want to go back and play the first one, possibly, just for a little bit, because I think, because this was a Nintendo game versus, like, a PS3 or 360 game, even though it's rated mature, I feel like the camera system is pulled back a lot more than the first one was, potentially to keep, you know, oogly eyes out of Bayonetta's business. But I'm not 100% sure on that one because, like I said, I haven't gone back to check the first one out. But my wife said she doesn't remember. She said that this one seems pretty tame to what she remembers the first one being like. So, and then, let's see. Yesterday, I went out and picked up Sunset Overdrive.
I didn't even know that came out.
And then I waited about 30 minutes for the damn thing to install off the disc. I don't understand how the Xbox One is the way it is. I really cannot wrap my head around it.
I'm going with idiocy.
It is a complete role reversal from last generation, right? Like last generation Sony was the one coming out cock swinging, you know, you guys will buy whatever we put in front of you and you'll accept it as this. And, you know, Microsoft was the underdog and gave people what they wanted. And this time, you know, Microsoft came out with the cock swinging and, well, they just slapped themselves in the face with it. And Sony's just like running home. And I haven't played that many games on the Xbox One. I have Titanfall and now I have Sunset Overdrive. But I remember Titanfall was really slow to install off the disc. Now, in fairness, when it gets to about 25 to 30% of an install, it tells you that the game is ready to play and you can launch it and start playing. And it will continue to load the game in the background. But I don't know. I could install like three. Well, let's put it this way. When I put my new hard drive in my PS4 and then I had to put in all the games so they could install back on the hard drive, I was like, I swapped out like six or eight games I had at the time, all eight of them, swapped them in and out in about 10 minutes and they were installed, all of them. And it took 30 minutes to install a 21 gigabyte game onto the Xbox One. I feel like hardware wise, Microsoft got gun shy from the hardware failures of the 360. And so much of that system is like, not only is it gigantic and well ventilated, but I feel like so much of it is like underclocked so that it doesn't produce a lot of heat. But somehow Sony was able to make the PS4 work the way that it does. Anyways, after I got past that, I went to bed because I didn't feel like playing it last night. Got up this morning and like I said, I played it for about 6 hours today. The controls, the only issue I have with the controls is it, with all the grinding that goes on and the traversal and stuff like that, it feels a lot like a Sly Cooper game. And as a result, I keep trying to play it like a Sly Cooper game where the jump button basically has anything to do with like traversal. So if you are going to go jump on a rail, right when you're about to connect, you hit the jump button again and you'll connect to that rail. But connecting to anything in the world requires you to push a completely different button. So jumping is just for jumping, and then you have to hit X to grind on a rail or anything like that. And it's, I keep hitting, sometimes I'll keep hitting B and my character will just like slam all the way to the ground with a ground pound, because that's your melee attack. And other times I'll do it the right way the first time. But the game has really forgiving checkpoints, so I'll give it that. Plus, when you die, you get these really cool respawn animations, and they're taken from movies and like pulp culture references. I've seen The Ring, where they put a TV set in the middle of the road and your character crawls out of it like the girl in The Ring. And then like right as it's about ready to give you control of the character, she like lunges at the screen. And then I saw, is it Turtles that has the cartoon Turtles that has the pods with the drill on the front of it?
Yep.
Yeah, there was one of those as a respawn thing. It tunneled up through the ground and my character walked out of it. I saw Bill and Ted, the phone booth from Bill and Ted. I've seen like the mummy. You come out of the coffin doing the Egyptian walk. And I've only seen, all the times I've died, I've only seen it repeat once, and it was the Egyptian one both times. Although I could be confusing that with a Dracula one, because they're both coffin related. I really like the character creator in it, because you don't have to play as the guy in the trailer.
That looked like a lot of fun. I watched a first 40 minutes video, and he spent some time in the character. I love a good character creator.
Well, they made it really easy to create a character, and I'll admit, like a typical guy probably not a typical guy, you guys probably never do this. I do this all the time. I like to see how little clothing I can put on a character.
Including the dudes.
So I made a chick, and you know, Allie was sitting there on the couch with me, like watching me go through the outfits and everything, and I like stripped her down to like nothing. And they give you like, throughout the game as you're playing, you unlock new outfits and stuff, which means you do get new underwear for your character. So you know, you build the character from like, you know, underwear on out, kind of like Saints Row, I guess. And I accidentally put her in her underwear and I hit the wrong button and the game started, like it exited the character creation screen. So I played through the entire tutorial of the game, which was probably an hour or so, in her underwear.
I'm so sorry. Your character.
But it made the whole thing more absurd. And this game is absurd. It makes fun of every single video game cliche that we've come to take for granted, or just, you know, we accept as the norm. Like, they do it, and they basically point it out. Like, for example, there was a cutscene that I was watching between two characters, and there was somebody else that was calling them and relaying, you know, story information to the characters. And both the characters looked at each other, and they go, "If you're not on the phone, and I'm not on the phone, then how is this guy talking to us?" And then the guy that was talking to him on the phone said, "Don't worry about that. I'm telling you stuff that's more important." And they're like, "Oh, okay." And then they did the typical thing where they stopped. The cutscene was coming to an end, and the girl that I was talking to, she's like, "All right, I'm going to meet you back at the base. And when this cutscene's over, I'm going to have disappeared, and you're not going to know where I went." And sure enough, you come back, and they're gone, like they would be in every other game. They point all this stuff out. When stuff shows up on the screen, she is aware that stuff has shown up on the screen, like tutorial stuff.
Yeah. I saw that in one of the tutorials.
And one of the other nice little things is every time you load into the game, the camera is like really, really close to you, male or female. The camera is really, really close, and the character turns around and punches the screen and cracks it in the lower left. And that's where your health bar? No, that's where your radar is in the lower left in a cracked part of the screen. It's a really cool game. It's really fun. Like I said, I'm just having a little trouble with the controls. So far, I've made it into kind of like Lollipop Chainsaw 2. I put my character in a cheerleader outfit, and I'm just running around killing a bunch of dudes like you would in Lollipop Chainsaw. It's really colorful too, which I really appreciate.
Yeah, I think the days of the brown games are gonna slowly come to an end here.
The colorful art styles, or the more stylistic stuff, last longer than the "we're gonna make this look as real as possible."
Yeah,
Danner, I know you were looking forward to this game. Do you have any questions?
No, because eventually I want to play it for myself. So I just
Yeah. Stuff for the sake of conversation.
I know what to expect from an Insomniac game.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I had never played an Insomniac game.
Yeah. So when you were complaining about the controllers being slightly sluggish, I was like, yeah, sounds like an Insomniac game.
I just don't, the one Ratchet game I played was the first one on the PS3, and I don't remember it. Like, I don't remember it feeling like that. And I know why they do it. It's really funny too, because when you die, they do that little on the brief little loading screen that you see. They give you little like tips on how to do things, and one of them is if you're looking for a sprint button, forget about it. Grind. So basically, when you're trying to go full out run, it's more like your character just goes at a light jog. Which is really annoying when you're trying to do stuff, and then it's like. Then you have to grind. And the grinding isn't as good as I was hoping it would be, especially after playing through the like, 4 Sly Coopers and Infamous. I was expecting a little more out of the grinding mechanic, since it's a big part of the game. But I'm having a lot of fun with it. So
I was going to say it looks good. It looks entertaining.
The animation's great. Like, everything about it looks great. I'm just wondering what... I'm wondering if Microsoft just paid outright for this, or if this is something they showed Sony and Sony didn't want it. Because I feel like that same thing, like I feel like that happened with like Destiny. It's like Bungie was like, this is the game. They went to Microsoft and they're like, this is the game we want to make. And Microsoft was like, that's a little ambitious for us. And so they took their project somewhere else. And I feel like, you know, that kind of the same thing might've happened with Sunset Overdrive. I'm having fun. I'm looking forward to you being able to pick it up, Danner, because I want to try out the co-op.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right, I guess we can let Shanzi and Joe wax philosophically about Destiny.
I'm most interested in hearing from you and the little taste of the raid we got, but I guess pretext all of this, I'm still the most excited to be playing Destiny. I like being able to play with my friends again. You know, it's been a year since they all got the PS4, and then I finally got it recently with Destiny. So I'm leveling up the character, trying to get into the raid. I think we had done the outside of the Vault of Glass, trying to get into the main door once or twice. And yeah, it's really difficult. Yeah, we weren't the right level for it. But I've been very interested in getting in there and just kind of doing recon, you know, sticking it in halfway and seeing how it feels. And so I don't know what possessed me to do it. I think last Friday or Saturday.
He's a teacher, ladies and gentlemen.
It doesn't mean that I don't tell dirty jokes. But so Saturday at like 10 o'clock, I decide, okay, let's get a pickup team together. I just kind of, and I'll let everybody know I want to get in there and just poke around and see what it is. And you know, just because of the convoluted friend system and inviting and finding out gamer tags and stuff, you had to go. There's no matchmaking for it in the game, so you have to go onto the internet where these homegrown sites have popped up to find people who want to do the Vault of Glass and do it the way that you want to do it. But at 11 o'clock, we finally had our team of 6 people together, and we got in. And the play style immediately changes. It feels like it's made by a different team. Same general mechanics apply with a controller and what buttons do what. But in there are things that are designed into that to add so much variety to the play style, to the thought process of how you figure these things out. It's like a puzzle game, maze, first-person shooter, co-op masterpiece. And I read an interview with it today, and I didn't realize it going through it the first time, because no, it was not a recon mission. I at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm like, let's do this, we can, come on guys, and I'm just getting information from it. But each section of it is teaching you something, teaching you new verbs. The developer of one of the developers on the team said about that, just teaching you these new verbs that you need to, when you get to the final encounter, you'll be able to put together what you have to do to beat the guy. And sure enough, we did not, the recon team and I, which was full of strangers, we did not beat it, but we got to that last encounter. And oh my God, that last encounter, it's like braiding hair. Or when I was playing, I was thinking it's like a friendship bracelet where you and 3 people are trying to weave over, under, through Those six players each have a role, and they've got to time it. They've got to execute it perfectly. Everybody kind of has to play their part to get anything to work. And if one person screws up, bam, it's going to kill everybody, and you got to start over. But because it's so quick and there's no penalty for death, you don't mind screwing up. It's like, oh, sorry, guys, my bad. I won't do that next time. And you go back into it. And so at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:15, when we died our last time, so, all right, guys, good to meet you. That was a great best pickup team. I can't wait to go. And the first thought was, I can't wait to go play as this with Mike, Sean, Art, and all these other people that I know from Xbox Live, the real friends that I have going in there. And so we had a pickup team. Art, I'm heartbroken you're not there. I hope that somehow we can get you into it. Like, if I don't think it's as exclusive. I don't think you have to go in with the same team, because some of the invite things that I've seen are like, hey, I've got a save file with the last, and it's inviting anybody to come join him. So I don't think it's as locked down as we thought it was. I think it'll be possible to get you in there if somebody's not available or if they don't care to go back to it. So, but it really is a work of art in there, and it made worth having a crappy story and struggling through all the things, grinding out, getting those ascendant shards to make it to level 28 to make it worth to do it. It made all of that worth it. I think it's great.
My counterpoint to that is. Sure. Okay, I think part of your experience with it was going and getting that pickup game and going in there with a group of strangers and everyone working together to accomplish something. Because when we were doing it last night, yes, I was having fun. I was having fun playing with my friends, and all of us are we know our role when it comes to games like this, and we know the role that we've taken on in the game, and we had you to help guide us and tell us what was supposed to be going on. And once we knew that, it basically, to me and my personal experience, once we knew what was going on, that, and I don't fault you for going ahead and doing what you did. I don't. It doesn't bother me at all. I'm just saying, like, once we knew what was going on, the game devolved into what it has been for me the entire time, which is point at something and shoot at it until something else happens. And I think a lot of what you're riding the high of going in and getting with five random people and going in, everyone just working together. Whereas last night when we did it, we had fun and we were playing with our friends, and it was still fun for us to do it. But at the same time, we already know how to communicate with each other. We know how to talk to each other in playing games like this. And we know that we work well with each other, and we're not going to get mad at each other for screwing something up. And so at that point, it just became like another part of the game where I'm just going to sit here and shoot at stuff because, Joe asked me to stand on the left-hand side and shoot at stuff that comes down the steps until something happens. And don't get me wrong, we said it before, the shooting mechanics in this game are solid. They're fun. And I did have fun playing with my friends, but the raid to me, because we all know each other, I don't necessarily agree with everything that you said, given your experience.
I wonder, in responding to that, I wonder how the experience would have been different if we'd have gone in completely blind. I kind of wanted to do that from the beginning, because I think a part of the raid is figuring out what you got to do. I think that's a game of it. And I think the reason that I decided to do the recon thing was that I don't know, with as busy as all of us are and with as many real life things that crop up here and there, I don't think that we've ever been able to put together a team and get us back together 2, 3, 4 days in a row to probe that little bit further each time before it resets on Tuesday or every 7 days. See, however. Know. So I don't know.
I don't know about that. I don't necessarily agree with that, because at any given point, we've got, John is playing every night. Shaunzy's usually play every night when he's not working. Allie will get online if I get online. So that's five. And we would just be like, we need one more person, which could be Danner or Jason. Or in the case last night, we just get that guy that Jason works with to come join our party. Mm-hmm. And, since it resets on a Tuesday, you do that Tuesday night, you do that Wednesday night instead of recording a podcast. You do it, you chip away at it on Thursday and Friday. Like, those people there are enough of us online at a regular interval. It's just that we need to make it, you know, we need to make the conscious effort that, you know, in a group text or like whenever someone gets online, you know, when someone gets online at the, you know, the right time of night, and then we see that everyone's on and be like, hey, let's go do the raid, you know?
Well, now that I've had this experience of reconning it and then pulling you all through it, let's when the next raid drops, whenever that's going to be, do our best to go in blind
with the DLC.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a while because, I mean, we're going to have to level up to it and la-di-da. And I know there's going to be a bunch of other cool games coming out.
Well, it depends.
I'll be distracted with, but
they haven't said what level that raid is going to be. Like, we're in the vanilla game, the, you know, max rank is 30. You can only get to 30 once you've done the raid at least once, or at least part of it, because you got to get that raid gear.
How much is the Destiny DLC?
It unlocks at 26.
35 for both.
If you buy just this one, it's
19. So they're charging $20 for that stuff.
Or 35.
Yeah, Allie and I won't be buying that. So.
See, I pre-bought them pretty much for $40 plus a bunch of other shit.
So that's part of the problem. If they're not going to continue to support the main game with free content.
I hope they do. My God, I hope they do.
Allie and I had a discussion when we went out to lunch today about it, because I've been like, I still love I love being able to get on there and fill up the PlayStation party chat, and we're all doing our own thing and like three separate instances of the game and having a grand old time with it. I love that. I love being able to hang out with my friends that way. But I've found myself more maybe in the last like week and a half making excuses to play the game, because I feel like I need to justify actually having paid for the game. Like, it's like, I feel like I've gone back to that, you know, that elementary school kid that, you know, back when, you know, Super Nintendo and games were like $80 a year, and maybe you got like two at Christmas time, and like you have to play
regardless of the game, you better
be playing. You have to play the hell out of that game, and I feel like that's how I've been treating Destiny like the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Like, I'm making excuses to play it because I paid for this game and I need to play it, and really the only fun I've been having is getting on there and playing with my, you know, just hanging out with my friends. Like, the game itself, there isn't enough content there for me, and maybe it's me not enjoying the MMO like style nature of the game. Like, I don't feel like I have the time to put into a game like this, like where the mechanics of the game are such that you need to farm for the stuff to upgrade your stuff. I don't know.
You seem to have done pretty well.
And then
it
stopped.
You were 28 before I was.
Then it stopped. Like, there was a point where, and I brought this up with Allie too when we're out to lunch. There was a point where I, like 2 weeks after playing the game, I kind of got a little meh on it, right? And that was about the time the murder cave was like a thing. And I was getting all like the blue engrams and the purple engrams, and they were all just decoding as green items. We all remember this. And oh, yeah, I was like, this is crap. You know, and then they fixed it, and that allowed me to progress. Like, I was getting ascendant shards and I was able to upgrade certain pieces of armor. And then that stopped. Like, I've leveled up the Cryptarch at least five or six times since then. I've never gotten ascendant materials from him. I've never gotten a legendary thing from the stuff he gives you at the post office. It's always a blue engram that decodes into some stupid gun that then gives me ascendant energy or weapon parts.
I think it's you're just having bad luck.
But
I've definitely had some.
That's fine if it's bad luck, but I'm not going to put up with 2 weeks of bad luck.
And I don't think leveling up the Cryptarch gives you anything but a reward. I don't think it makes him give you higher level stuff. I think it just, you get your three packages.
No. Whenever he goes up a full level, you get a shipment at the post office.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't think it doesn't upgrade his ability.
No, but here's the thing. Before that patch, I would get like two purples and a blue. And then I'd go to him and have him decode him, they'd be all green. But now that I've upgraded him since like five times since then, I've gotten purples and they don't do anything. They give me all ascendant energy. I have a crap ton of ascendant energy and like no ascendant shards. my upgrading my character has stopped. Which is why when we were doing the raid.
Yeah, and you got your energy and
stuff. And then I jumped off the cliff. So
the unfortunate thing about this is, as excited as I am about Destiny, Mike, I see your points and I agree with them. Like, Bungie came out and promised all this, and we thought we were going to get it from Bungie, because if anybody's going to put Activision in their place, it's Bungie. But the ball has been dropped on Destiny. It's been dropped hard, and all the fans know it. All the websites that I've been reading, there's even the people who like it, like, yeah, this isn't good. And even the DLC, after what you saw today, I think it doesn't look good. And I'm, you know, it's getting harder and harder for me to hold out hope for it. I mean, yeah, we saw a list of what's included, but I hope, you know, some of those things that are one line of text equal a 2-hour story section. Don't know if it will.
I don't know that 3 missions equals 2 hours worth of story, though.
No, you know, and that in that sound effect is exactly what I'm thinking.
15-20 minutes to do, so.
Yeah, well, they do now because we've done them 500 million times and there wasn't enough content on it. But Mike, you're totally right. There's not enough content there. I am tired of doing these stories over and over again to grind out to get these things. That's a problem. And you know, we had the big, I don't know, leak or whoever investigated it and discovered all those other areas that got cut out of the game, and how the rift was supposed to be another rest area like the tower is. And that sounds to me like that's almost factions. It sounds like those, I don't know what they call them, the glowing critters that I haven't played yet. I think that was like setting up to be like Alliance versus the
Horde. The ships are actually supposed to be part of your dead orbit future war clan stuff. You're supposed to be able to customize. Yeah, never mind. I don't want to get into this crap.
Yeah. But, and I agree. The game got neutered, and I'm upset. But I did have fun with the raid.
I keep saying I have fun playing the game with my friends. But for a little while, I would get on and be like, "Oh, I'm gonna go grab my bounties," and you know, I'll start doing the bounties by myself. And then maybe if someone pops online, I'll get in a party with them and go help them do theirs. And just in the last like week and a half, it's kind of like, well, like I said, I'm making excuses to play the game. And I think, you know, I kind of realized once I got Bayonetta and, you know, yesterday I got, you know, Sunset Overdrive, was kind of like, you know what? I'm not in that position. I don't have to make an excuse to like a game, you know, like I can move on from this because I mean, I can go back and play it at any time. You know, the other thing that Allie and I talked about was maybe we wait until, I mean, we'll probably be her and I doing it by ourselves, you know, but it's like, maybe we wait until they announce like Destiny 2 when all the content is already out for this game. And then we come back to it. And that way we can kind of consume it like all at once. Cause like there isn't zero. And that's the other thing that kind of makes me sad about Destiny. There's zero incentive for me. I have a second character that's level 11, but I have zero incentive to go and play that character and like spend the time leveling that up.
Yep, I have a level 5 hunter that I use to go get the public event ascendant package in the mail, and I want to level him up. I want to see what the hunter does, but I don't actually. I don't want to go through the story again. I'm tired of playing those missions. I mean, the promise that I made to myself was once I finish the Vault of Glass, I'll go back and do the hunter, but I'm not sure that I will. You know, I don't know how long that's going to take.
Chauncey, you've been awfully quiet. Do you have any opinion?
I don't think it's so much the ball was dropped as I'm not so mad of what the game is as opposed to what it was supposed to be. So it's like if they had never come up with that leak of what the game was supposed to be, I don't think I would have been as mad with the game. I'd have been like, well, that's just what it is. But then finding out that it, you know, could have been, and in fact at one point was infinitely better. And then they, you know, nerfed it for who knows. We haven't seen if they're adding stuff back in or what the overall scheme of it was. But it's a little depressing. But like Joe says, I'm having fun with the game. The only ever one time I got infuriated and had to stop was when we very first tried to do the Vault of Glass. And we spent like 40 minutes or like an hour.
Just dying. Excuse me,
hiccup there. On that first part. When I'm like, okay, all I'm doing is dying over and over and over, and it's getting harder every time I die because I'm starting with less ammo.
Yeah. That was like before I discovered ammo packs.
I don't care.
Well,
When we played last night, I didn't use one ammo pack.
Me either. Of course, when you have regenerative ammo for your stuff, it works a lot better.
Wasn't using that either. I was just, I honestly think that they've changed to the way loot draw or ammo drops, because every time I use the almost every time I killed something with a shotgun, a green ammo thing drops.
Yeah. See, the only reason I haven't asked Danner what his opinion is of Destiny is because I know it's just going to be "I told you so."
If he's awake.
I'm sorry, what?
The only reason I haven't asked you your opinion of Destiny is because I already know what it's going to be, and it's "I told you so."
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
You can say it.
I was going to say, I've said all I had to say months ago, and everybody poo-pooed on what I had to say, so it's fine. I will just sit here and enjoy watching you all get frustrated and upset while we experience Borderlands 2.0. Part
you
two.
Can have fun with that. I'm not touching it. I'm done with Borderlands.
That's not what he was talking about.
No, so, I didn't expect Sean to be smart enough to figure out where it was going with it.
No, for like the last hour you guys have been cutting in and out, but I assume it's not on your end, so it doesn't matter, so I don't want to bring it up, but whatever.
So
thank you, Homer.
Does anyone else have anything they want to talk about?
What's the next big game we're playing? I'm doing...
I'm hoping I can get you to do The Crew.
The Crew. I'll be doing that.
Okay.
I need to go pre-order it.
See, the problem with that is that it's going to be the same thing I had with all racing games. Oh, it's fun for like 2 weeks, and then I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, but Joe and I like racing games.
I like racing games, too. I just get bored with them quick. After doing every, track so many times, you get to the point where it's just like, don't really care anymore.
Yeah, the point to point, I'm not convinced I'm going to like it as much as I like a Forza. I'm hoping that there is, that it's fairly realistic driving, or at least I can turn on enough settings to make it realistic enough that I'm cool with it. I don't like the Need for Speed racers. I like the Forzas.
I think because of the level of customization they're giving you over the cars, I think it's going to be more arcadey.
Yeah.
Because you can take a Camaro and build it for off-road capabilities. That said,
Can I strap guns to the front of it? No.
That said, I feel like they're doing the one thing, if I remember correctly, they did this in the first Forza Horizon, and you liked it, where you can drive around and find cars.
Yeah.
I think they put that in this game. I believe there was one video I watched where they pulled up behind a barn and there was a car and they picked it up. So.
Oh, and completely random, I don't know where it came from. Any of our listeners, if you like playing Payday 2 on 360, they just released all the DLC that's been out for a while on the PlayStation and PC. So there's tons of new stuff.
That's exciting. I bet it all looks like
it's a good game. I'll like the rest of the game.
Looks like it would have been awesome running on Windows 98.
Let's see. There's the Halo Master Chief Collection, which comes out November 11th.
All I'm gonna do is because they have the new stuff that weaves the story for the new I'm just gonna YouTube that when it happens. It's eventually cut into like a one video thing.
Assassin's Creed Rogue and Assassin's Creed Unity. The interesting thing that I've heard from a couple of places is while we thought that Assassin's Creed Unity was going to be, like a quote unquote true next gen experience, it's an updated engine from the same, it's an updated version of the engine that brought us the same. The games such as Assassin's Creed 3 and Black Flag. So basically when they were up there going, we had to settle at 900p, 30 frames a second for each console, it's because, we didn't want to build a new engine specifically for the new consoles. So So I'm kind of bummed about that. I mean, I'm sure the game looks great still. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's just when you see them do that and then you realize that it's the same engine that we've been playing for the last 3 years, it's like, ugh. But then again, it's Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed is an annualized title. So it's to be expected. From what I've heard, the saving grace here, though, is that The Division is an entirely brand new engine optimized for the PS4 and the Xbox One.
When's that coming?
Next year sometime.
The Crew and The Division, I think, are...
I think you have a long time for The Division. I think The Division's going to be next fall.
Yeah. It's been this generation for a year, and I don't think I've seen anything truly next gen, and it doesn't look like I'm going to see anything truly next gen until next Christmas. I'm going to hold to my statement that they released these systems a year too early.
I think,
or perhaps they should have developed.
I think this happens every generation.
3 years ago,
like the PS.
I don't think it drags out.
The 360 wasn't ready to go either. Like the games for the 360 didn't show anything for. Well, I mean, the first game that actually showed off the power of the 360 was Gears, which was a year later. That was one game a year later. And then the following year in 2007 is when you got Modern Warfare 4 and Halo 3 and Portal and a bunch of BioShock was 2007, early 2007. It wasn't until 2 years after the 360 came out that you actually got the full on breadth of the hardware. In the PS3's case, I'm saying this because I've been listening to a lot of old podcasts lately, from like 6 years ago, and they're basically having the same conversations we're having right now, about the current stuff. Is, you know, the PS3 came out in 2006, and it didn't have its first showstopper until November 2007, which was Uncharted. So it's not, you know. It's one way you look at it, you know, like, oh, it was too early, but all the stuff is too early. I mean, at least it's not as bad as the Saturn, where they just dropped it 3 months early before it had any software, you know? So it's,
you know, and then I think of the GameCube and that launched with, I think, just two games. And one of them was the Star Wars. And I put that game in and it still looks beautiful. And then at the end of that generation, the Resident Evil 4 came out for that. And man, did that look good. And I go put Star Wars back in, and that still looks good. The wonderful kind of weird bump mapping stuff they did is there. It looks gorgeous. I don't know. Something, maybe that's because it's Nintendo, but it wasn't Nintendo. It was LucasArts.
It was Red Faction. No, Factor 5. It wasn't even LucasArts.
Yeah.
Factor 5. And then there's Far Cry 4 on November 18th.
Is that next gen? Do we know? Have they
said it has a
new engine?
It's the same. It's Far Cry 3 on PC settings.
It's coming out on current gen and it's coming out on next gen. It's not.
Here's the thing though. The engine, there's two, I think there's maybe three engines that I can think of that actually scale. There's the Frostbite engine from EA that can scale through the hardware really well, which is why Need for Speed Rivals and Battlefield 4 look as good as they do on the PS4 and the Xbox One. And I believe the engine that is underpinning Far Cry also scales really well, because I remember the PC version of Far Cry 3, you know, hands down, you know, bashing the PS3 and the 360 over their heads. So I would expect that to happen. You know, there's a graphical difference between Far Cry 4 and Far Cry 3 on the next gen consoles.
What of the statistics that we measure for graphics, what do you think is the most apparent when we're discussing, like, what's the thing we notice first going from one generation to another? Is it polygon count, resolution, frame rate, contrast? What do we notice?
For me, I think the one, personally, it's a
draw distance,
yeah, but that depends on the game that you're playing. Mm-hmm. For me, it's I like the biggest difference between last generation and this one, there were two things that stood out for me. One, solid frame rates. Whether you know they're locked at 30 or they're locked at 60. And then lighting has been the thing that stood out the most for me in this generation.
Are there any games that run at 60?
The PS4 has a few.
I'd like to play one of those.
I have to. It had, I know it has more games that run at 60 frames a second than the Xbox One does.
Oh, you list one, I'll go rent it.
Infamous runs at 60. Okay. Last of Us runs at 60. The really cool thing about Infamous and The Last of Us, they have a setting. You can leave it running at, they're not locked at 60. They'll run at 60. But they'll like dip down to like 50 or whatever. But you can lock it at 30 in the settings.
So it doesn't change.
You can actually see the difference between 30 and 60 frames.
Cool.
And well, I say it's noticeable. Your track record on what's noticeable, Joe, is we'll see if you notice. And then here's one that Joe's waiting for, Geometry Wars 3.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. That's the top of my list right now.
This is November 25th, but I don't think that's right. I think it's like the middle of November when that comes out.
I couldn't find a date on it when I looked.
There's the crew we already talked about. Yep. Oh, if anyone cares, Watch Dogs on the Wii U is still coming. Talk about a game that fell off the map really fast was Watch Dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of talk and then nothing.
I think.
Yeah, man, I was excited for that.
They shot them. I think dropping it out of the release window hurt them. Plus, it fell prey to the whole, you know, you kind of like an Alien Colonial Marines thing, which was you showed us this game on E3 and said this was running on something, and then you get the final version and it doesn't look like that. I don't. It sold a lot. We'll get a Watch Dogs 2 because it sold like over a million copies. So, all right, that's all I got. Does anyone else have anything?
Nope. Just waiting eagerly for my games.
Okay. If you want to get a hold of us, you can email us at feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put off the cuff in the subject line. They'll make sure it gets to us. You can also visit our parents' site at geekcastradio.com. Leave comments in the show notes or the episode notes there. If you listen on iTunes, if you could leave us a review of what you think. I know we haven't done one in a month, but you know, let us know how we're doing, especially if you haven't left one before. That always helps. I like seeing how well our podcast is received. Stroke my ego a little bit. You can find myself on the PlayStation Network, Xbox Live, and Twitter at BoothNinja81. Joe?
I'll throw a listener feedback question out there. Also, since you know, we're sitting here talking about this generation, what is your opinion on how this generation compares to the last Switch, and what are you looking forward to? Otherwise, you can find me on PlayStation Network at Wildfire405, spelled with two capital V's. You can also find me on Facebook. If you search for Geek Stuff Garage Sale, that should pop up there, and you can send me messages there. I'll be happy and excited to reply to them.
Chauncey?
I've been Chauncey Brown. You can find me on Xbox at Weapon87. You can find me on PlayStation Network at Weapon... You can find me on Twitter at Chauncey Brown.
Danner?
You can find me at Art Danner on Twitter and at X51 The Machine Man on PSN.
Real quick before we go, the PlayStation 2.0 software came out. And we will actually, they allow party chat to be streamed into Twitch now. So if you know, we're all online playing Grand Theft Auto, or we're all online playing Destiny or whatever, we can actually stream it and you can hear all of us yelling at each other incessantly to do stuff. The other thing, and this is just so Joe and I can have a little side conversation, you said that this was stuff that should have been in the console at launch.
I think so. Well, it's stuff we were shown right at launch, you know, hitting the share button and being able to watch my friends play. I didn't know that that wasn't a part of the system. I just thought I didn't know how to find it. And then, oh, now, hey, 2.0, now it's here. Now I can do it. And I'm really excited to be watching you guys play. I know, Mike, you were like, here, take the controller. I was like, no, let me watch. I want to do that. It's better than Twitch, because Twitch had that weird delay, which I think is gone now because party chat's in it. But Twitch had that delay, and it just kind of wasn't. But now that I can just hit the share button, go watch what you're doing, I'm very excited.
The one thing I will say, my counterpoint to the, it should have been there at launch. I think back, whenever you say that, for some reason, I flash back to the original announcement for the PS3, which was, it was going to have an Ethernet switch built into it. So it was going to have 4 Ethernet ports and 2 HDMI cables and 2 cell processors. And it was going to, like, you know, revolutionize everything. And then that was at E3 2005. And then when we got to E3 2006, they were like, oh, it has 4 USB ports, 1 Ethernet port, 1 HDMI port. It doesn't do half the stuff that we said it was going to do out the box. I feel like, you know, Sony being different this time around, yes, they did announce a lot of things, and they said that it was going to do this, that, and the other, right, you know, when they did their press release, you know, a year before the thing was supposed to come out. But I think what they did is, at least they're still, to me, they're still giving it to us. It's not like they're like, yeah, it's not, I don't see it as, it should have been there at launch. I'm actually glad that, you know, they said that they were going to do this stuff with the PS4, or that the PS4 could do this stuff. And then it's not like we bought it on that promise, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're not working on that anymore. Like, I feel like I feel like there was a reason they waited for as long as they did. And I think they were kind of using PlayStation Now, which uses the same type of streaming technology for, you know, playing the games over the internet. I think they were using the beta test for that to test how this would work, you know, what the experience would be for people to do the share play, share your games over the internet and have someone control it. I feel like they waited until it was ready. Plus, it's a nice little Easter egg, like, kind of like, you know, thanks for hanging with us for 1 year, you know, not giving up on us. Here's our, you know, here's some of the other stuff that we promised. But like I said,
I'm excited.
We'll have more Twitch stuff. We just have to find, you know, something that's not Destiny for all of us to play, so we can all yell at each other. But at least, you know, Joe and I will be streaming the crew.
Hey, yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll talk to you next week, maybe, if I decide to do a show. We'll be right back.